Good morning, let's get started. It is Thursday. Thank you very much to Shalom Haber for taking over the last couple days. I really, really appreciate it. I wasn't feeling too well, but it's great to be back. Baruch Hashem. Okay, here we are, Rondaf. Lamed Aleph right at the top, but just to get a flow, let's continue from Lamed Amud Aleph towards the bottom here. We have a number of opinions, and I really thank Shalom Allah for going through the Tum and Tara type stuff, and Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, what becomes what. It's not an easy Gemara, it's a very special Gemara to learn, as we'll discuss shortly what some of the specialness behind this Gemara is. So, but let's continue for now. We have Rabbi Elazar, who was another one of the opinions who holds that a Sheni cannot make Chulin into a Shlishi. Now we have Rabbi Eliezer right towards the bottom, about five lines from the bottom. Rabbi Eliezer, who is another opinion, who holds that a Sheni cannot make Chulin into a Shlishi. So, let's see that inside. Rabbi Eliezer Ditznan. We have a Mesechta from the Mishnais in Chala. We're going to quote a Mishnah, but we have to quote the previous Mishnah to better understand this. The previous Mishnah in Meseches Chala, as is brought down by Rashi here, says that if the normal amount for Chala is 1/24th, now if the Isa becomes Tame, if the dough becomes Tame, then the amount is 1/48th that must be separated for Chala. What happens if it was Metame on purpose? So the Tanakhama there holds that you must take 1/24th because lo yechote niskar, a sinner should not benefit from that. And Rabbi Eliezer has another option, which is what we're about to discuss here in the Mishnah, which you did yesterday, just a review to get into the flow to continue this Gemara here. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Chala Neitelas Menatora Ala Tmea, that the new Chala can be taken from Tamei Chala. Ketzad, what does this mean? How can you take Chala that is tar from Chala that is Tamei? How can you do that? We know Chala must be taken from Mukaf, that which is connected to it, which is why even if we have a number of Chalas today, we kind of cover it off all with a towel, and that's how we would take Chala from it. Ketzad, what's the case? Shtei Isos, so we have two separate doughs. Achas tar v'achas Tamei, one's tar and one is Tamei. No tel kde Chala misa shlehor machala. So we take from the tar Chala. V'nosein pachos mikabetza be'emtza kidelito min hamukaf. As Shalom explained yesterday, I'm sure that what we do is we take the tamei chala, the tar chala, put a little bit in the middle, pachos mikabetza, to act as a bridge between the two, and that's the way we're able to take chala from it. It's connected enough that one could take from the tar chala into the tamei chala at this point. The chamosrin, and I'm going through this fast because I know this yesterday, I'm just trying to review just to continue that flow there to start off somewhere. The Chamosrin. And the Chacham say, no, you cannot do that. Let's see the Gemara shortly. The Tanya Kibetza. We have another Bais that says, not only a half a Beitza in the middle, but you even put a full Kibetza size, a full egg size, right in the middle of these two Chalas. Savrua, what do we hold? Edi v'edi b'isa rishona. In both cases, the dough that become Tame, that became Tame, is a Rishon. Okay? And what else do we see? And the other dough, the Torah dough, which challah hasn't been taken off yet, has not become challah yet, has not become the truma status yet, and therefore, what we're talking about here is Rishon turning into a Sheni, and a Sheni potentially turning the challah into a Shlishi. Doesn't this weigh in on the machlokas they're having before about whether or not Chulin can become a Shlishi? Myla Bakamifugi, Demar Savar, Rabbi Lezer holds, Savar ain Sheni Osa Shlishi Bechulin, that it cannot become a Shlishi, that's why we could put that dough in the middle. Umar Savar Osa Shlishi Bechulin, the other opinion holds that we could make Shlishi into a Chulin. Amar of Mari Breder of Kana, no, Dekuliyam ain Sheni Osa Shlishi Bechulin. Maybe this does not weigh in on the Machlokas, about whether Shlishi can become Chulin. Vacha Bechulin Atul Nechala Kamifugi, but really what we're referring to here is Chulin Hatfulin lechala, which is the case that we have right now, and it's whether the second dough, the bridge dough, is subject to the rules of chala. Mar savar kechala damu. So the first answer is that the first opinion holds that it is like chala, and therefore it could become a shlishi like truma, and it's not like chulin. Umar savar lo kechala damu. Another opinion says no, it does not. Vibais ema. Alternatively, dekuli alma chala natul lechula lo kechala damu. Everybody agrees that it's for sure like chulin. The ain sheni osa shlishi bechulin, and still we never have a sheni turn a shlishi into A sheni cannot turn a shlishi into tuma by a case of chulin. V'hacha, so what's the case here? What are we worried about here? Why can't we potentially put that full dough there? V'hacha b'mutter ligrum tuma l'chulin shemeri soka miflagi. The machlokes here is a greater machlokes. It's, can we put this dough into the middle for a greater good? To take challah from the tahor dough on the tamei dough, as Rabbi Eliezer recommended. Mar Sava, Rabbi Eliezer holds mutter ligrom tum lechulin shaveret Yisrael, that we could put this dough right next to it to take it off from the Torah dough to balance out what happened to the tumah dough. Mar Sava, the Tanakama holds usur ligrom tuma lechulin shaveret Yisrael. As we had the Chama on the top line, they said v'chamam osrin, and they hold not. And therefore, the back and forth as to whether we could take challah from this tahar dough, put a mukah, put some sort of pachos mikah beitza or kebeitza in between to take challah from the tahar dough to reflect back on the tamei dough. We had the machlokas brought down there. And again, this is all going in the opinions, and we concluded in the Gemara that this does not weigh in on the machlokas, because everybody agrees that a sheni cannot turn a shlishi into chulin. I'm sure you discussed that a lot the last couple days. Once again, 2 points, though, before we hit the two dots and move forward on the next Gemara outside of Tumah Tara stuff. Number one, very important to remind ourselves what the Chafetz Chaim says about Tumah Tara type of Gemaras. The Chafetz Chaim says that when we learn these types of Gemaras, which seemingly have no applicability, no applications today, and it's like, what are we even talking about? And it's hard to understand, and oftentimes we find ourselves just, you know, totally zoning out. Once we hit Tumah Tara, Rishon Sheni, Avot Tumah, what? We just totally zone out. Says the Chafetz Chaim that perhaps one of the greatest ways we can show Hashem that we're truly being mitzapel Yeshua, that we're truly yearning for Mashiach, is learning about the halachos of Beis HaMikdash, Tumah Tara type stuff. Because what do we learn today often? We learn Hilchos Shabbos, Brachos, Taras Mishpacha, practical stuff. But when it comes to these type of stuff, which seem impractical, we zone out. However, when we learn this type of stuff, we show Hashem, this is practical too. What happens if Mashiach comes tomorrow? We want to know this kind of stuff now, because this is practical. Hashem, perhaps a prayer, an inherent unspoken prayer, when we learn this type of Gemara, is Hashem, please make it practical. Help us be able to live these types of stuff once
again. That's what I love about the Temple Institute.
Yes, very much so. Very special, beautiful, powerful place. Number two, generally, the mitzvah of challah in general. We know it's a separate mitzvah, say, de'oraisa. Just a question here. Why is it brought down in Parsha Shlach? Heard from Rabbi Rosner. Why is it brought down in Parsha Shlach? Challah, Parsha Shlach, Mahakesher. What's the connection? So we know Rashi in Parsha Shlach points out that Hashem gave the Bnei Yisrael two mitzvos over there in the Parsha. What are the two mitzvos in Parsha Shlach? And anybody know? David, any thoughts? Request to put you on the spot here. It's 6:08, so it's already not. No, it's already light outside almost. Okay. The other mitzvah, we'll give in this time. The other mitzvah is Nesachim. The Nesachim, the wine libations you put onto the Mizbeach. What is the connection? Rav Zevin asked, what is the connection between Nesachim and what is the connection between Challah in Parsha Shlach where we have the Meraglim? What is going on here? Answers Rav Zevin beautifully that what is the symbolism behind Nesachim? Nesachim are poured from up to down onto the Karbonos, onto the Mizbeach. What is challah? Challah is varim, can we bring it up from down to up? So up to down and down to up. And explains Rav Zevin beautifully that in the desert, the Bnei Yisrael were living a very Kedusha-like, Malach-like existence. Hashem was constantly giving to them stuff. It was all up, top to down. It was all, here you go, here you go. It was very angelic. Is everything is yours, the man is yours, life is yours. There was no real being Mekadesh, the world, and uplifting it to Hashem. However, when the Bnei Yisrael were going to go into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem was like, all right, now we're going to have this duality here. There's going to be Kedusha coming down, like the Nesachim, and there's going to be Challah, like you're going to be raising up stuff also. Challah only takes effect in Eretz Yisrael. So Challah, which you're going to have to raise up, real food that you're going to be eating, lift it up, raise it up to Hashem, be Mekadesh, the world. That is Challah. And therefore, in these parshas where the Meraglim did not want to go into Eretz Yisrael, they wanted to stay in the Midbar. They couldn't imagine what life would be like. Many Mefarshim explain why. One of the certainly common denominator between at least a number of them is that they were afraid to live life in Eretz Yisrael. What would they be? Would they mess up? How would they be able to succeed and be Mekadesh, the world? Right, work and being Mekadesh the world, which is what we try to do here every day. Learn Daf Yomi early in the morning, and we go to work, and we try to juggle life and family and work and money, and all of a sudden Daf and Kedusha Tara and so Baruch Hashem. That's what the world's about. It's about trying to uplift the world. So anyways, that's a beautiful message by Inchala being a parsha.
It also gives remnants to Chala as well,
because
that was the way that he knew that Rivka was right for him.
Beautiful. Beautiful. But that's brought down more in the Mefarshim as to what that means. When he loved her and he brought her into the tent, and then all of a sudden But the mitzvah of Challah is not given, and that's not where the Monei mitzvos, the counting mitzvahs are counting. Oh, mitzvah of Challah right here. No. That comes up in Parsha Shlach. But excellent point. But one of the symbolisms, how Yitzchak knew that Rivka was his bashert. Okay, two dots. Thursday. Two dots. Bobayom, Darsh Rabbi Kiva Chulu. We had two dots in the Mishnah. We had two dots in the Mishnah, which started to explain a number of the Bobayoms. Anybody remember? Bobayom. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was just elected the Nasi. He was 18 years old and his hair went white. Rabbi Gamliel originally was the Nasi and he had very harsh rules. The Beis Medrash opened and many people came in. Bobayom! We had a lot of Bobayoms. A lot of stuff happened on that day. Rabbi Akiva there. Darsh Rabbi Akiva. What did Rabbi Akiva say here? Is that in terms of the Are Levium, the Are Levium did not get allocated real cities in Eretz Yisrael. So what happens? The Bnei Yisrael chipped in, and they got, I think, 48 cities. These are Levim. What was around them? Surrounding them. We have one pasuk which seemed to indicate there was 1,000 amos around. Another pasuk seemed to indicate 2,000 amos around. Rabbi Akiva was medarish here, that 1,000 amos was for the migrash, was for these types of fields that they could put there, and 2,000 amos was for Tchum Shabbos. Now, their opinion said, no, it was really all for them, so we had a machlokas there in the Mishnah. What is this machlokas? V'chulu b'may kamithli, what is the machlokas in the Mishnah? Mar savar tchum and del raisa. Rabbi Kiva holds tchum and del raisa, and therefore the 1,000 amos that the Torah is referring to are for migrash, for the Levium, fields and stuff, some nice stuff. Whereas the 2,000 amos that the Mishnah was referring to, or the Torah was referring to, is de oraisa elements of tchum Shabbos. Mar savar derabanan, another opinion holds that it's derabanan, and therefore that 2,000 amos, pasuk in the Torah, was referring back to the allocation of the cities towards the Levium. Next two dots. We had a beautiful thing about Oz Yashir, that the Bnei Yisrael sing Oz Yashir. So when they came out, Rabbi Kiva said that when they came out of Eretz Yisrael, sorry, when they came out of Mitzrayim, they were going towards Eretz Yisrael, they raised their eyes. Let's discuss that soon. They raised their eyes to say Shira. The Ketzad, Amru Shira. How did they say Shira? What was that like? Beautiful Gemara. First, like a three-way machlokas as to what exactly. A part of the beautiful Gemara. But a three of machlokas as to what the Shira was like. Did they say back and forth? What was the dynamic when they sang Shira? So, Kigodol Hamakri Esahalo. Kigodol, hold on a second. Kigodol Hamakri Esahalo. Oh yeah, sorry, yeah, excellent. Perfect. Thank you so much. Sorry. Okay. Kigodol Hamakri Esahalo. It was like a Godol who was saying Hallel. Which is what? Like Shomea Ka'ona. So they heard Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, it'll explain. Vein Onan Acharav Rashi Prakim. They would just respond the chorus, so to say. Which means Moshe Omar, Ashir Lashem, right? Vein Onan Ashir Lashem. And they said, all right, Ashir Lashem. Moshe Omar Kigoga. Vein Onan Ashir Lashem. So Moshe would continue to move forward through Oz Yashir, whereas the Bnei Yisrael would constantly go back to just say Ashir Lashem. They would just say the chorus. That's like a Godol who's being Makri the Hallel. They were being Shomea Ka'ona. They heard Moshe saying it. So it's as if they were responding, they were just kind of, you know, singing along
like
by constantly.
Like
right. You're just kind of like, you know, Amen might be more Shomea Ka'ona like. Good question. But at least they were responding, singing along, but not saying the words. The next opinion, Rabbi Elazar ben Oshel, Rabbi Yosef Glili Omer, Kikaton HaMakri Sahalal. It wasn't like a Godol who's being Makri, that was like a Katon. What does that mean? A Katon, you can't be Shemea Ka'ona, you can't respond like a Katon, and that won't work. You know, Achrav, Kol Mashu Omer. So they would respond everything that he said. For instance, Moshe Omer Ashir Lashem, Vein Omer Mashir Lashem. Again, they responded. But then what happened next? Moshe Omer Kigoga, Vein Omer Kigoga. So they would always respond to what Moshe said, and therefore it was like a katan being makir the Hallel, and they weren't able to be yotze with what the katan said, so they would constantly respond after him what the Shliach Tzibur here, what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. Rabbi Nechemia Omer, a third opinion, Kisofer HaParis Al Shema BeBeis HaKnesses. It's like a sofer who says the Shema in the Beis HaKnesses, in the Shul. What does that mean? Rashi explains that it's like somebody who's leaving, it's like a teacher in Shul, and what that is here, Shuposech Tila Veinon Achrav. This most resembles our Shliach Tzibur today, right? They'll start something, kind of say the first few words, and everybody kind of zones in and says it themselves, which he explains, right? Shuposech Tila Veinon Achrav, that he'll start something off, then everybody will start to say it afterwards. So, b'maka miflagi, what is the machlokas about? If we take a look at a sitter, or if we just remember, right, when they started saying shira, so the pasuk says as follows, and there's two words there that we're trying to be medayik here. We're going to say it Bezrat Hashem in just about a half an hour or so. Oz yashir Moshe uvenei Yisrael es hashira azos, then Moshe and the Bnei Yisrael sang this shira, hazos lashem, for Hashem, vayomru lemor. We have vayomru, and they said, lemor sang. So they're going to go back and forth between, is it on vayomru, or is it on lemor? That's how each of the opinions will learn their pshat as to what they said. Let's take a look here. B'mai kamiflagi, Rabbi Akiva said that it was like a gadol who was saying halel, lemor. He goes on the word lemor. Amilsa kamaisa. So the lemors keep on saying the words Ashir Lashem. Lemor, they keep on saying the same word. Rabbi Elezer Benoshel Rabbi Yosei Glili Savar. Lemor. What does the lemor mean? Unlike Rabbi Akiva, akol milso milso. On each and every word, lemor. So lemor respond repeatedly after what the Godel left after Moshe Rabbeinu said. Rabbi Nechemia Savar. Rabbi Nechemia, however, who holds that they all say it together, but Moshe just started them off, is Vayomru. They said, to Omer Kulu Bahade Hadodi, that they all said it together. Lamor, then what does he do with the word Lamor? Saying, De Pasach Moshe Beresha, just like a Shliach Tzibur today. Moshe was starting them off. So Moshe kickstarted that Tfila, and then it was Vayomru, they all said it together.
They didn't have a sitter, so they wouldn't know what to say. It was a nace, I guess.
Absolutely. That they all said it together, those words, absolutely. And that's a beautiful thought. As we'll see, there was much more of a nace than they ended up saying the right words, but they all saw Hashem in a very clear way. Zekeli Vambeo, as we're about to see, the clarity in which they saw Hashem there was unbelievably palpable. Says the Marsha, before we get to that though, Eliezer, says the Marsha, why wouldn't they want to be Shomea Ka'oneh? After Moshe Rabbeinu. Imagine Moshe Rabbeinu comes here. He goes, guys, I'll be out to you in this bracha. Moshe Rabbeinu! Isn't there any better person to lead our tefillos and we'll just kind of follow along? Says the Marsha, they wanted to do it themselves.
Because Moshe said, anybody can be like me.
Oh, that's what the Rambam says. They wanted to do themselves. They didn't want to just follow along with what Moshe Rabbeinu said. They wanted to express their individual love and appreciation for Hashem. That's what the Ben Yoyada seems to comment also on the words Nasnu Einehem. Interesting. They desired to. We start off this Gemara and we're about to have it again. Sorry?
So there's the watermelon people.
Meaning what?
Meaning that there is a point where it actually describes people that are more like, you know, the down to earth people, not like Moshe, as the watermelon people.
That was Moshe Rabbeinu, and then afterwards responding, they wanted to be the ones that were responding themselves. We should all be the ones that are trying to express our own individual appreciation for what Hashem does for us on a daily basis, right? Because as we said, as Mr. Brewer said, brought down from the Zohar, if we have that type of simcha rabba, as if Hashem was splitting our seas, or the sea, then also, right? Mochalno al kol avonoso, we get all of our sins forgiven. So if we can express that and sing that out and sing out that appreciation, every day we have that priceless opportunity. Nosnu inam, just says the Ben Yoyada, Nosnu inam, that they place their eyes, lomar shira, to sing shira. What does that mean? Nosnu inam, we had it before, we're about to have it now again. So nosnu inam, we know that what happened, the angels wanted to sing shira and the Jews wanted to sing shira. And Hashem silenced the angels, but the Jews were able to. Nosnu inam is because they deserved it. Nosnu inam lomar shira is that they were more worthy than the angels. The angels don't have the credit, so to say, to sing it, but we did. Perhaps part of this credit that we had was wanting to sing it and not just wanting to kind of stay back, but moving forward. Okay. Tanarbanan. Dar Shabbos say, Glili B'shal Shal Yisrael Min Ayam. Nosnu inam lomar shira, the first wide line towards the bottom. Laflamad Amad Beis. Kitzad Amr Shira. How do they sing shira? Olel Mutal Albir Ke'imo. There was a baby that was kind of sitting on his mother's lap. And another baby that was nursing. Rashi explains that the Olil is a little bit older than the Tinok. They're both there kind of with their mothers. Kivan Shiro es Hashchina. Once they saw the Shechina, Olil higbiat savaro, the Olil who was sitting on his mother's lap would just lift up his neck. The Tinok shamat dad mipiv. And the Tinok would let go of his mother's breast that he was nursing from. The Amaron, what would they say? Zekeli vanveu. Even the babies, the infants, the nursing kids, Zekeli ve'anveo, they saw Hashem, Zekeli, this, they were at the point, Zekeli ve'anveo, Shenemar, Mipi olalim v'yonkim yisadata oz, from the mouth of the olalim and the yonkim, yisadata oz, that Hashem's gvur will be established. Says the Marsha, yisadata oz, like oz yashir, that's what we're referring to from that pasuk in Tehillim. Not only is it the children that were just born, that were suckling, but even a bigger chiddush, those fetuses that are in the mother's, right, that are in the mother's embryo, that are in the mother's womb, thank you, right, even they sang Shira. What does that mean? Or Shema, how do we know this? B'makelos baruch hu Elokim Hashem mimkor Yisrael. B'makelos, as Rashi said, kishenikluo al hayam, b'makelos, like haka, when they gathered together by the yam, thank you, mimkor Yisrael, from the source of Yisrael, right? And that seems to include also the fetuses, says the Gemara, in brackets, which we could read, some have it, some don't. V'al lo chazu, but wait, practically, hold on one second. They're in their mother's womb. How did they see it? They didn't exactly have vision outside of the womb to see things that were happening right around them. Their mother's stomach turned into this clear glass-like thing that they're able to see out of it, and they're able to see the Shechina. Kas baklaria hameira is the way that Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy is explained also. Kas baklaria hameira, like clear prophecy, clear vision to Hashem. That was the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy and the other prophets, as Moshe Rabbeinu had a clear vision to see and to experience Hashem. So did these fetuses in their mother's womb. That's what they were able to experience too, an unbelievable thing that was happening by the Yam. Let's all try to experience that on a daily basis as much as we can to sing out to Hashem and Shira too. Let's just take a quick look here at Rav Hirsch. There's just like so much here, and there's so little time.
There's one kind of vision too. There's the vision in your mind, and there's the vision, you know, with your eyes.
Yes, but this is saying that it was Zekeli Vanveu. You're right, because there's, I think, another Gemara elsewhere that says that a fetus, I heard this, says that a fetus sees from one side of the world to the other. Oh, but here it says it does v'halochaz, who doesn't see. What do you mean? No, that seeing one side of the world to the other is a spiritual vision. This was a physical vision. Zekeli Vanveu is not just a spiritual insight. It's a physical vision, Zekeli Vanveu. Rav Hirsch, in Parshas Yisro, Shmos Perek Yotes Pasuk Dalad. Just a beautiful reverse, faith versus knowledge in terms of seeing. The basis of your God awareness and self-awareness is not faith, for faith allows an element of doubt, not faith in Hashem. Rather, the basis is the firm evidence of your senses, what you have seen with your own eyes, what you have yourselves have experienced. Raw, faith versus knowledge. And exactly the same word Scripture says, referring to the fact of God's revelation at the law giving. This is referring to Matan Torah, where Hashem showed Himself by Matan Torah. Yitzias Mitzrayim Matan Torah, and by Yitzias Mitzrayim, they saw, right, our Gemara, they saw the exodus from Egypt and the law giving of Sinai. Stand entirely on the base of the actual evidence of your senses. And since they were seen, heard, our Gemara, seen, heard, felt, and experienced simultaneously by so many hundreds of thousands of people, any possibility of deception is ruled out. These two fundamental truths accordingly share the highest degree of certainty. They transcend the bounds of mere opinion and belief. They belong to the realm of knowledge. They are irrefutable facts. We don't have faith in God. We have knowledge in God. Like Rambam says, Leida es Hashem. They are certain as our own existence and as the existence of the material world we see about us. And they should serve as cornerstones of all of our other knowledge. Last paragraph. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and did for you at one at the same time. Them, the greatest human power on earth, I threw to the ground because they opposed me by force. While you, I brought you to me. You were helpless and downtrodden. But because you trusted in me and faithfully devoted yourselves to me, I raised you high above the reach of all your enemies and brought you into direct relationship with me. You have seen that I am the only one whom you should fear and the only one in whom you should trust. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Sham Shon Fal Hirsch, faith versus knowledge, definitely knowledge and not faith. Fantastic, let's move forward. Okay, says the Gemara, two dots, up here on top, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. Now, Baruch Hashem, we're at our daf, at our daf, Lamed Aleph, with 14 minutes left. Let's continue. Two dots. Bo bayom darshu Rabbi Yishuv and Herkenes shelo avad Iov v'chulu. We had a whole discussion about Iov. Did Iov serve out of Ava or Yira? What did our Mishnah say? Mishnah back on Huf, right? 23b. What did it say? Sorry, not 23. Huf Gimel Amad Alf. No, a little bit later. On Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, what did our Mishnah say? It seems like Rabbi Shimon Hyrcanus on that day said that Iov served out of Ava. He brought down a pasuk, "Hey Nikdeleni Lo Ayachel," right? That even if Hashem kills me, Lo Ayachel, I will yearn for him. We had a whole discussion: is Lo with a Vav or an Aleph? I will yearn for him, or Lo Ayachel, I will not learn from him. Our Gemara is about to discuss that. But that contrasts with what we learned by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who said that Iov served out of fear, and we discussed that Ava, serving out of Ava, is a higher level than serving out of Yira. Says the Gemara. Darsh of Yishuv and Hyrcanus, Shelo Avad Iov v'chulu, right? That he served Hashem out of Ava, not out of Yira. V'lechzi, high, low. But if you take a look at that pasuk, right? Lui explaining lo ayachel, right? Iva lamed aleph, ksiv lohu. But wait, let's just read the pasuk and what the pasuk says. If the pasuk is lamed aleph, low, then he's not yearning for Hashem. Iva lamed vav, ksiv, then lo ayachel, then he is yearning for him. So again, what is going on here? Let's just take a look at the pasuk, what the pasuk says. Let's learn whether or not Iov was truly yearning for Hashem, whether he was serving out of Ava or Yira. Says the Gemara, wait, v'chol hecha d'ksiv lamed aleph lohu? Whenever the Torah uses the word lamed aleph, lo, no, or not, it really means lo, not. Elameato, we have a pasuk from Yeshaya, v'chol tzar sam, lo tzar. Hashem says that in all pain of the Jews, lo tzar. Hashem does not feel that tzar. That's lamed aleph, right? So is that lo tzar? Hashem does not feel our pain? D'ksiv lamed aleph, hachinami d'lohu? Does Hashem not feel our pain? Of course he does. Chitei machinami, if you're going to say that, yes, and Hashem sends an angel to save us, and therefore he's obviously with us. So it can't be low as a no. Therefore, what does that mean? Elo mashmachi umashmachi. You're right. It can go both ways. Meaning it can go either way, and therefore we have certain psukim that explain to us what that means. So that pasuk in Yeshaya, we have that other pasuk about the angel saving us, and therefore that shows that Hashem really does feel our pain. Here, we have Lu Yiktalini, as we brought down the Me'iri on our Mishnah, which really there's a Kri and a Ksiv also. The Ksiv is the Lamed Aleph, but the Kri is really the Lamed Vav, and therefore we had that other Pasuk that we also brought down in the Mishnah, which indicated that Iov served out of Ava. Tanya Rabbi Meir Omer, Nemar Yireh Elokim by Iov, Nemar Yireh Elokim by Avram. That we have the words Yireh Elokim by Iov and by Avram. Rashi explains by Avram, Ki Yireh Elokim Ata, right? By the Akedah. By the Akedah, which we should say every morning too. My Yireh Elokim, I'm about Avram Me'ava. Just like the Yireh Elokim that we have by Avram is serving Hashem out of love. Af Yireh Elokim Be'Homer Be'Ov Me'ava. So too, the Yireh Elokim by Eov is also out of Ava. So it's not just Yireh Elokim on that low level, not low level, Chas V'Shalom, but on that level Yireh Elokim without any element of Ava, but it's really with the infused Ava there. Avram Gufei Minolon. And where do we know Avram that he's Yireh Elokim? Niksiv Zera Avraham Ohavoy. So Hashem calls Avram Ohavoy, my lover. He loves me, and therefore we know that Avram Avinu had a strong sense of Avas Hashem. Ma'ika ben Osem Avel Osem Yira. Little agarta before we end this parak here, the fifth parak. What is the difference between serving Hashem out of love and serving Hashem out of fear? Right, and Rashi points out very importantly, this is not merely ahava of schar and yira of onesh, not just I love Hashem because I want to get reward, or I'm nervous about being punished in the world to come, but this is more avas, or sorry, yeah, not ahava of schar, but this is more avas Hashem, a higher level, more like the Shema element of Hashem. Exactly, and the Yiras Hashem is not just Yiras HaOnesh, but it's Yiras HaRomamus. Again, a higher level of Yira. So what is the difference here? Ika HaDetanu, we have a braisa that explains the difference in the type of reward. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Magadol Osem Ava, Yosem and Osem Yira. There's a difference in one who serves Hashem out of Ava and one who serves Hashem out of Yira. Shezet Toloi LeElefdor, because one is dependent, one helps for 1,000 generations, v'zeto l'alpayimdor, and one is for 2,000 generations. Hacha, what are the psukim? And then let's discuss that for a moment. Hacha k'siv l'alpayim l'ove u'l'shomrei mitzvosai. One, in Shemos Perchof, it says, l'alpayim, for 2,000 generations, l'ohavoy u'l'shomrei mitzvosai, for those who love me, meaning those who serve out of ahavas Hashem, as Rashi explained, v'hosam, and the yiras haromamus, k'siv, l'shomrei mitzvosai, l'elefdor, right? L'shomrei mitzvosai, as Rashi explains, that is referring to yiras haromamus, l'elefdor. But wait, hold on a second, can I ask a question? I'll answer shortly. 1,000 generations? 2,000 generations? How many years is each generation? 40, let's say 40, even if you say 30 or 20, have that many years passed yet in the Jewish calendar? So what are we referring to, 1,000, 2,000? It doesn't even really make a practical difference. Let's discuss shortly. First thing where it says, wait, no, we have another pasuk. We have in that pasuk, it describes Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem in the same pasuk, Leloftor. So therefore, how can we possibly say that it's only Avas Hashem is Alpayim and Yiras Hashem is 1,000? Hold it, a samachle, the hailer samachle hanu. No. It's really what is next to it in the pasuk. So in the pasuk, where you have Yira right next to the Elefdor, that's referring to only 1,000. But in the pasuk where you have Ava right next to Alpayimdor, that shows that it's 2,000. So you're right, they're both in the same pasuk, but we have the Yira right next to Elefdor. Great. Says just a quick little story, and then we'll continue on with that thought. Tre Talmidei Dahavu Yasui Kamei D'Rava. Rav had two Talmidim. Chad Omar Le'a Kirin B'chalmai. One says that it was read to me in a dream. Ma Rav Tuvcha Sher Tzafanta L'Rechah. How great it is, the reward for those who fear me. The Chad Omar Le'a Kirin B'chalmai. The other student said he saw it was read to him in a dream. That, oh, how great it is for those, again, who love me. So wait, so what's great? So what's the reward? What will be held on a high level? Is it the Avas Hashem or is it the Yiras Hashem? Answers Rava to his Talmidim, Amar Lahu, Tervaichu Rabbanan Tzadikei Gemuri Atun. You're both Tzadikim Gemur and you're both on a high level. Mar Me'ava Umar Me'ira. Meaning you're both on high levels, you're both doing a great job, and you both have a lot to look forward to in the world to come. But again, 1,000, 2,000, how do we understand this? Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, load of loaded subjects. But just one thought, and I have on the side of my Gemara here, I don't even remember when I took down this note, but again, I highly recommend take notes, write stuff down. It'll be there hopefully forever, this world and the next world. Let's write it down. So I have a note here in my Gemara. I have the question. 1,000 generations, we don't even live for it. The world hasn't existed. And we see after 6,000 years, Mashiach, something. What's going to be 1,000 generations? 2,000 generations? So apparently there's an Aruch Chaim, which one of my... Sorry? Aww. So my younger brother's friend, I don't know how, where, when we met and when we discussed this, Ari, his last name is... I'm going to stutter on that word. It's coming out. It's Grubner, yes. Ari Grubner, thank you. So he told me, he pointed out to me, I don't know how he knew this, but unbelievable. He pointed out to me, a Aruch Chaim in Parshas Yisro. Aruch Chaim Parshas Yisro. Perek, in the third Perek, Pasuk Yud Tes. Just to read a little bit, it's a huge, beautiful Aruch Chaim, but just to read one short part. Hinei matzino lo shegila daito ki schar hamakayim Torah Hashem u'mitzvosavim yirmeh mefsam eosam avo. Right, from these two psukim, he brings up the psukim, but what does he say? That it's the schar for those who are hamakayim the Torah. So what he explains is that it's double the schar, not necessarily for longer in generations. So 1,000 and 2,000 generations is not necessarily that it's only in terms of how long it's going to perpetuate forward, but rather the type or the amount of schar is. You were saying, Eliezer, that's going to be there for us. Okay. Hashem Shah. Shem Shehamayim, Mazda on the fifth parak. Let's continue a very short parak, just about a daf on the next sixth parak. Let's start here. Misha Kine, we have 6 minutes left. Let's just try to get to the end of the Mishnah, then we'll continue to take it forward. Says the Mishnah, Misha Kine l'ishto v'nistra afilu shama me'ov ha'porech. Again, back to Kinoi and Sira and the types of witnesses. Tosus points out, Parak zahayahogun she'ishanoi hum urva parak rishon. What's this parak doing here, says Tosus? It should be in the first parak. We have the first parak, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, the Machlokas, and one and two witnesses, and what all that's about. But all of a sudden here, we had all these other things afterwards, as Tosus explains, right, Truma, and what does she eat, and the whole process of bringing her to the base of Mikdash, and all of a sudden, Aval Tema, Zalachar Sheshana Shebarku Amayim, who closed her the Kinoi. And after we explain that the water checks her, and the whole process of what that will be like, all of a sudden, back to Kinoi, back to Sira, Tosus leaves it as a Akasha, but we should recognize that this is reflecting back on the first parak with Akasha as to why that's here right now in the sixth parak. Mishakina the Ishto Venistra, one who warns his wife and she goes into Stira. Afilu Shama Meof Haporeach, that even if we hear from an Of Haporeach, which literally means a bird in flight, which means that even if this Of Haporeach is euphemism for like an aid, which is not a valid aid.
A little birdie told me.
Excellent. So a vet, like a shivcha or an eved. And this would also work to for the stira element. Afilu shama meof haporeach, that she was in stira. Yotzi v'tein ksuba. Then she would go out and she would get her ksubra. Divrei Rebbe Eliezer. The opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, as we said, right? Rebbe Eliezer says one for stira. Rebbe Yoshua said two for stira. Remember that because Rebbe Eliezer, it begins with an aleph, which is one. So his opinion was that he gets one witness for the stira. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Achi Suvitnu Ba Mozros Balvana. No, it's only when lots of people are talking about it, when the spinners at night are speaking, meaning what she did is so common knowledge, that's where she's able to go out, though, with her ksuba. That's where she's able to go out at that point. Rashi explains, Kolomar Mishum Stira She'en Ba Bezedim Eino Neseres Lov. Right, because the stira needs two witnesses, so she's still not usher upon Rabbi Yeshua la time dar mashka alpish time, because Rabbi Yeshua holds two witnesses. Rabbi Yeshua holds one, and therefore she still will get her ksuba in these cases. Amar eid echad. What happens if one witness said, "Ani re'isiyah shenitmes"? I saw that she was metame, right? That the extramarital affair happened. Lo hay sashosa. So everybody agreed there that she wouldn't drink. There's a whole raider. There's a whole discussion. The mafarshim jump, and it's very exciting. Shenitmes. Is that in the same stira that she did? Well, what happens if it was out of that stira, a different stira? Same man, a different time. Anyways, all kinds of exciting discussions here on the Mishnah. Even if one was an eved or a shivcha, and they're believed, because there's raglayim davar, she would also be apostle from her ksuba. Chamosa, these types of relationships that are brought down in Maseches Yevamos, even they're believed. Chamosa, a mother-in-law, which the Gemara does not have positive things to say about a mother-in-law and a son-in-law, or a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. Ubas Chamosa, or the daughter of the mother-in-law. Mitzarasa, or a co-wife. The Yevemta, or the woman who might become the co-wife, which means that if a woman's married to a husband, and then she, her sister-in-law, meaning her husband's brother, she's worried that her husband's brother might die without any kids, then all of a sudden, her husband would have to marry her sister-in-law. So she'd become co-wives with that sister-in-law. Again, not the best relationship, says Gemara. Ubaz Bala, or her husband's daughter, her stepdaughter, Harelu Nemanos. Even these women are believed. Lo Lepos Miksubasa, not to pass her from Miksuba, Elishlo Tishta, but rather it's enough that she wouldn't drink these Sota waters. Shaya Badin, back to the Gemara that we learned the first couple days there. That if we were to say that the Eidos Rishona, which is the Stira within Rabbi Yoshua, who needs two, as Rashi explains, two for Stira within Rabbi Yoshua, she Sarta Isser Olam, because it doesn't make her Asher forever, because what happens if she's Putter, if she drinks the waters and then she's okay, she can go back to be with her husband, that only works with two, it doesn't work with less than two. Eidos Achrona, Shosarta Isser Olam, Enodin Shlotzitiskayim, Bepachos Mishnaim, doesn't Eidos Achrona, the Tuma, that is Osar to Isser Olam, because if she's Matame, then she can never be with her husband. Then of course that shouldn't work with less than two. Tamalama, there we had that pasuk, the Eid Ein Ba. Remember the whole of the Eid Ein Ba, Eid, when Eid means two, and that whole thing of what Eid means. So the Eid Ein Ba, Kol Eidos Shishba, this is referring to the any type of Eidos that there might be. Kalachom Eidos Rishona. Let's use it the other way around, the other way. Kalachom Eidos Rishona, which is the steer, Miatu, Mam, Eidos Acharona Shosartis or Olam, Be'edas Acharona, which is the Tumah, that is Aser her forever to her husband, Hareli Miskayemis, Be'ed Echad, that works with the Eid Echad, that the Eid Echad can say that she was Tame, Eidos Rishona, then the Stira, Sheno Sartis or Olam, didn't she describe Be'ed Echad? Then again, shouldn't that work with just one? We can use that right back on its head there. So why does Rabbi Yeshua require two? Talamar ki matzo be'ervas davar. We have within this concept of ervas davar, anything davar erva should be shtayim. Ulalanu omer alfi shnayim edim yakum davar. We have exer shava between mamanis, which is two, and erva, which is two. Malalan alfi shnayim afkan bi shnayim. So two, they're both two. And they should always be two, even though one should work here, because the Kal Chomer, we have a din, we have a Kal Chomer that it should be two. Eid Omer Nid Meis, just wrapping up the mission. Eid Omer Nid Meis, Eid Omer Lo Nid Meis. One witness says she was Matame, one witness says she wasn't Matame. Or Isha Omeris Nid Meis, Isha Omeris Lo Nid Meis. A woman says, who we believe that she was Nid Meis, another woman says not Nid Meis. As Rashi explains, Oki Chad Bahadechad Vaharehi Kisfeka Vishosa, that one knocks out the other, therefore she's like a Suffolk, and she still drinks because she was supposed to drink anyways from the steer anyways. These are just whether or not she was Tame, they both knock each other out. Haisa Shosa, she drinks. Echad Omer Nid Meis, Shayim Omer Lo Nid Meis. What happens if one says she's Tame, and two say that she's not Tame? Haisa Shosa. Rashi explains that it's not saying, they're not proving that she's not Tame, they're just saying that when she said she's Tame, they weren't Tame, similar like Ein Zomim type stuff. Shnayim Omer Nid Meis, but if two say that she was Tame, the Echad Omer Lo Nid Meis, and one says she wasn't Tame, Lo Haisa Shosa, there she wouldn't drink. The Gemara's going to say that's Pashut. Let's move forward from the Gemara there tomorrow, but Zeran Hashem. Tomorrow's daf, Lev Lamed Beis, Lev of Masechta Sota, and Amir Hashem will finish the sixth parak and get into the seventh parak on daf Lev tomorrow, Erev Shabbos, as we continue through. Very exciting daf in Masechta Sota. Have a wonderful day. It's great to be back.